Let's go. Pesach is upon us, as we say. And what I want to talk about tonight is the proper way to eat matzah, and they have a question mark. Now, what I'm doing over here is I am going to be responding to an article that's written by a very fine Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yair Hoffman. He wrote this article in the Five Towns Jewish Times sometime in April of 2014. Don't know exactly the date when this article came out. Somehow, when I was like Googling it, I couldn't figure out the date of the actual article. But Rabbi Yair Hoffman in this article discusses what is the proper way to eat matzah, and he argues that based on what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and we'll learn the sources in a few minutes, the way most people eat matzah, they are not they're not fulfilling the mitzvah in the optimal sort of way. So let's go through his article, and then we'll make a few comments about it. Okay? So there is a discussion. You know, at the Seder, our practice is that we have three matzos, no? One for Kohen, one for Levi, one for Yisrael. If you're a student of the Rambam, you have two complete matzos. The Rambam does not have yachatz at all, but the Rambam does not have a third matzah. If you're a student of the Rif, you have one and a half matzos. If you're a student, the way we do it, it's not really three matzos, it ends up being like two and a half matzos. Okay, that's not fine. There was an opinion out there, actually Professor Sperber has in his work, that they would have four matzos at the Seder, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael, and number four was a suffix. Rabbi J.J. Schachter, when he teaches rabbinical students how to give a good drasha, this is one of the examples he gives, that you have to bring all the sfeikos to the Seder table. A Seder table without all the suffix, right, without this fourth matzah is somehow lacking, but there is a question as to how many matzahs we have. And although usually on a Shabbos and on the Yontif we have two chalos for Lechem Mishnah, but Leo HaSeder we have two and a half according to our practice, right? And then the what we do is we take the three matzos, right, which is the two and a half matzos. We make the bracha of hamotzi on all three. We drop the bottom ones, and we only have one and a half left. And then we make the bracha of alachilas matzah. But there is some sort of question as to whether the alachilas matzah that I'm making, is it going on the top matzah, or is it going on the middle matzah? No? So therefore, based on this, we eat from both matzahs. No? Isn't this like standard Judaism? Yeah. We eat from both matzos, and we should have a kezayis of each, no? So at the Seder, we end up eating two kezayisim at motzi matzah. We end up eating then a korech, and we end up eating, technically speaking, you should try to have two kezayisim at afikomen also. So that's five kezayisim. And we also know that a kezayis can be anywhere from the size of an olive to the size of an ostrich egg. Right?
Yeah. So, can we say once it depends on if it's a machine matzah or a hand matzah?
Not really. I mean, whatever. I mean, the question is what a kezayis is, and then we have to apply that to machine or hand matzah. And by the way, hand matzah isn't a uniform thing, right? There are some hand matzahs that you could get which are really thick. Right, the Gemara says you shouldn't make matzah that's as thick as a tefach, but if the matzah is thick but not that thick, that's still okay. Then there are some matzos that are paper thin. No,
yeah.
So obviously kezayis would be different. I can't give you a measurement based on hand matzahs because different hand matzahs are different. Right, different thickness. And
how are you supposed to eat then?
So you gotta do experiments. But these are very expensive things to experiment because matzahs are... the going rate for matzah is virtually the going rate of gold. This stuff is unbelievably expensive. But okay, but let's go slowly. So Rabbi Yair Hoffman, he was a teacher of my niece's out in Far Rockaway. He has an article as follows about the proper way to eat matzah. Let's just go through his article, and then we'll tell a little story and make a few points, and we'll be done. So, the debate of the Rishonim, do we say Alachilas Matzah on the broken piece and the Hamotzi on the whole piece, or is it the opposite that we make Hamotzi on the broken piece and Alachilas Matzah on the whole piece? Now, by the way, it would seem much more reasonable that the Alachilas Matzah is going on the broken piece, because Matzah, right, is supposed to be Lechem She'onim Alav Devarim Harbei, right? Matzah is supposed to be Lechem Oni, Madarko She'oni Beprusa, the poor person eats, right, the Yod Mich Mekana from my claim Shtikol Abrite, right? You have a tiny broken piece of bread that seems like that's Alachilas Matzah. Nonetheless, there is a Shita in Rishonim that's the opposite direction. And that position Rishonim is very interesting. That position Rishonim is basically saying that the mitzvah of matzah redefines the mitzvah of eating on yontiv. Eating on yontiv is not supposed to be eating from a full loaf, quote unquote, but supposed to be eating from a broken piece, because the nature of tonight is different. And then there's a third option, that both brachos are cited on the broken piece. Fine, and he points out which Rishonim say which. Based on this, there's a great compromise. Because of all these doubts, Shulchan Aruch rules that we should eat two kezesim of matzah simultaneously. One from the whole piece, one from the broken piece. We should also have in mind that we're reciting the bracha on both the whole one and the broken one. Therefore, the ideal procedure, right, is the following four-step process. Ready? This is the ideal way to eat matzah. Please note, some will find step four rather difficult, so an alternative to step four is given later. 1, we make hamotzi in all 3 matzahs, we drop the bottom one, this is step 2. 3, we break a kezayis on both of them, wrap them together, consume a kezayis from each one simultaneously. Yes, that's correct. Place both kezayisim in the mouth together. Okay? This is the ideal way of eating a matzah. Right? So I take 2 kezayisim, right, and I stick it in the mouth together, and then both kezesim are chewed well and split within the mouth in half, one kezesim on each side, then one is swallowed, followed by the other. So you end up eating like a chipmunk. Okay? Effectively what you're doing, and he says this is the ideal way of eating matzah. Okay? This was published in the Five Towns Jewish Times, very reputable source.
Has anybody ever heard of this in the Noble Universe?
We'll show it to you. It's in Shulchan Aruch. Right? Wait. Right now, first we're reading the article, but just to get what this looks like, you take 2 kezesim, put in your mouth, and then you're done, right? Effectively, because you have 1 kezesim, right? It's a chipmunk procedure. Okay, gotcha. Now, if one reads the Shulchan Aruch carefully, indication that both kezesim should actually be swallowed together. Right? So really what I should do is put 2 kezesim in my mouth, and then, right, I have like a boal, yay big. What's the expression go? Something in a boa? Something. There's some expression about, like, you ever saw a boa constrict to eat. Right? You can like see it go.
We don't have a hinge.
Right. But apparently what you're going to do, the ideal thing, this is very difficult, so we don't really recommend this one, but the ideal thing would be that you put 2 kezesim, and remember, the size of a kezayis can be wolza, right? You put 2 of them in your mouth at the same time, and chew it all up, and then boom! Right, one thing goes down together. That is the ideal way of eating matzah. Both the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah write, it's only necessary to have them in the mouth together to chew them and separate them in the mouth. It's not necessary to swallow them together. One after the other will suffice. Okay. So now, effectively what he's saying is based on the Shulchan Aruch. Let's turn to the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to analyze Rabbi Hoffman's statement. There was a huge literature. My friend, Professor Chaim Seyman, now he's in Villanova Law School, which is famous because they just like won the NCAA tournament or something, right? Chaim Seyman posted on Facebook last week or something that in his last conversation with Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zechron Olav Racha, he told Rav Aaron that I'm teaching in Villanova. So Rav Aaron said, Villanova, they still have a good basketball team. Something to that effect. That was
the Big Shot basketball coach at Villanova, if I'm not mistaken.
Who?
My high school homeroom teacher.
Okay.
Massimino.
This is, what's his name?
Massimino. If he's still there, he might have retired.
No idea. Okay. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that the way you go to the Seder is Yito Yadav Yivarech on Netilas Yadayim. You wash your hands, you make on Netilas Yadayim. Again, the first time we wash our hands, you don't make on Netilas Yadayim. Then you take the V'yikach HaMatzis K'seder She'inichem HaPrusa Bing Shtei HaShleimos. You take the broken matzah between the two complete matzahs. V'yokzeim B'yado V'yivarech HaMotzei Ba'al Achilas Matzah. You make HaMotzei Al Achilas Matzah. This is true for, by the way, Reb Shlomo Kluger. Reb Shlomo Kluger in his Tshuvos HaElofo HaShlomo discusses, let's say I eat matzah and I forgot to make the HaMotzei, there could be that I don't fulfill the mitzvah of matzah at all, because that's a mitzvah HaBav Aveira. Right? Interestingly, because ha'och hanena me'olam hazeh b'lo bracha is ma'al. If I get benefit from this world without a bracha, it's like I did me'ila. So Reb Shlomo Kluger says, I don't get the mitzvah at all. Most disagree with Reb Shlomo Kluger. There's a very long tshuva that Chacham Ovadia Yosef Zecharon Lavracha has in his Chazon Ovadia, which is his two volumes of tshuvas he wrote in Egypt. Before he came to Eretz Yisrael, all on Hilchos Pesach, he argues on this. And this is Reb Shlomo Kluger. Many assume that the din of mitzvah of Aveira doesn't apply to Aveiras d'Rabbanan. Eating without a bracha is an Aveira d'Rabbanan. But basically, Shulchan Aruch says, I make the bracha of HaMotzei and Al Achilas Matzah. Right? Yeah. Fork is eight, and then right, and the double gulp. This could be very difficult. You make HaMotzei and Al Achilas Matzah. And then, then you break off from both of the matzahs together, you dip them in salt. Our practice is that we don't dip matzah in salt. Sfaradim dip the matzah in salt. That's a long conversation. And you eat a kezayis of each of them together while you are leaning. The Mishnah Berurah comments, what this means is, right, that we're not sure which matzah it is, etc. Therefore, what you should do is, Hiskimu ha'acharonim, I'm picking up from the period in the Mishnah Berurah, again, this is all what Rabbi Hoffman is quoting. He's just quoting Mishnah Berurah. The acharonim conclude, you don't have to actually swallow them together, you only have to put them in your mouth together. Now, the rationale for putting it in your mouth together is probably as follows. There's a three-volume work called the Seder Ha'aruch that I was looking at this evening. The Seder Ha'aruch argues that maybe putting it in your mouth together is a fulfillment of eating matzah together, because one could argue that the mitzvah of eating, or any halacha of eating, is fulfilled when it's in my mouth already. The Prima Gadim Paskin is like this. Let's say, you know, I'm not supposed to talk between making a bracha and eating, correct? Let's say I make a bracha, I put some food in my mouth, and while I'm chewing, I start to talk. Now, by the way, it's a bad idea. Shulchan Aruch says that talking while you're chewing is bad midos, no? Not supposed to, it could also be dangerous.
Your mom doesn't like it.
But your mom doesn't like it either. So, the Prima Gadim says, you know, once you start to chew, it's as if you ate halachically, and the bracha was already chal, the bracha already took effect, because the bracha goes on the chewing, right? And you don't have to swallow. This is a whole discussion, by the way, in Yerideya, the beginning of Simon Tzadi Ches, the Taz, discusses, do I violate a prohibition of eating treif food if I put it in my mouth and don't swallow? No? Does eating mean you swallow, or does eating mean it goes in your mouth, etc.? So perhaps this idea in the Mishnah Berurah that you put the two kezesim in your mouth together is based on that Prima Gadim, that the Prima Gadim says that you fulfill the mitzvah of eating to a certain extent when it's in your mouth. It's considered, and if you talk afterwards, it's not a hepsik, etc. That's his argument. So Yom Kippur, there's a discussion whether Yom Kippur has to be Hanos Meyov, not Hanos Grono, because the Torah says Te'anu as Nafshol Seichem Inui, right, means. There's a question about all other Yisurim, the Gemara Chun Daf Kuf Gimel, we could discuss this more at length, but at the same time, it could be that this idea of putting both kezesim in your mouth at the same time is somehow the mitzvah of eating is when it's in my mouth, even before I swallow it. you could fulfill the mitzvah without swallowing to a limited extent. Obviously, the complete mitzvah involves swallowing, but you get some mitzvah when it's in your mouth. Now.
So again, why would you not be permitted to be mashik until you swallow?
So we're not sure whether the mitzvah or the achila, I should say. We're not sure if it's considered achila when it's in my mouth, or is it considered achila only when I swallow it. In deference to those opinions that it's not achila until I swallow it, obviously l'chatzchila, I shouldn't talk until I swallow, but if I did talk, the Prima Gadim says it's okay. Good. Now, there's a whole lumdusha explanation as to why I'm supposed to swallow the two kazesim and matzah together. But I don't know if I want to go there. I don't want to know if I want to go there in that point. The basic idea, what Rabbi Hoffman is arguing, seems to be what the sources say. Now, this is a highly unusual way of eating matzah, but the sources seem to say this. And then he goes on, and he says, the time span has to be kedei achilas pras, right? Kedei achilas pras varies. You have to eat a kezias to get the mitzvah. This is the mitzvah d'oraisa of eating that we have, is eating the matzah the first night of Pesach. And it has to be done a kezias, the size of an olive, which we know is either an olive or an ostrich egg. And the time span is kedei achilas pras, the amount of time it takes to eat half a loaf of bread. Now, how long does it take to eat half a loaf of bread? Right? So there's a range in Peskim, anywhere between 2 minutes and 15 minutes.
What kind of a loaf?
We generally Peskim a range between 4 minutes and 9 minutes. That's how we generally Peskim. But if I want to be super duper machmir man, right, or woman, right, I could end up trying to be yotze or the biggest shear of a kezias, right, which he tells you, he gives you some cheshbon for the kezias. Says, remember, the basic story over here is like this. The Gemara in Pesachim Kuftes speaks about the relationship between measure of my fingers and a keli and a utensil that holds volume. That's the Gemara in Pesachim. And the Gemara says it's two etzvahs by two etzvahs, etc. The note of Yehuda was the Rav in Prague, and he decided to make a calculation for the shear of challah. Challah is supposed to be, you only take off challah with a bracha if you have how much flour?
43 eggs,
which is the gematria of challah. Right, the gematria of challah is challah. Awesome, right? So the Navi Yehuda one time did an experiment, and he's measuring a keli with his fingers, 2 fingers by 2 fingers, and it's supposed to be equal 43 eggs, and not close. Right? Totally off. So another Yehuda says one of two things happened. Either the eggs got smaller, our eggs today are smaller than their eggs used to be, or people got bigger. Right? Those are only two possibilities. So another Yehuda writes in the Tzlach, in Pesachim Kuftes, that everybody knows that people today are not bigger than people used to be. So obviously eggs are smaller. And therefore the Navi Yehuda said that, you know what, the measurement of eggs today is half of what they used to be, and all of our measurements are half of their previous size. That's the famous Navi Yehuda. The funny historical footnote over here is the Navi Yehuda's main student, who's actually buried right next to the Rebbe, is Rebbe Lazar Fleckels, who wrote the Tshuva Me'ahava. And the Tshuva Me'ahava writes that anyone who saw my Rebbe, anyone who saw Navi Yehuda, realized he was an imposing, massive person with huge fingers. You know how they make fun of Donald Trump's fingers? It's like a thing, right? Right? Apparently Navi Yehuda had massive fingers, the opposite of Trump. And, in many ways, Adkan. But the fact is, says Rebbe Lazar Fleckels, obviously Navi Yehuda's experiment was off. And most poskim, I think, assume that we use the smaller shiurim. However, the Mishnah Berurah writes that for a mitzvah d'oraisa, like matzah, we should assume this katnua beis, we should assume that the eggs got smaller. Therefore, the size of an Aleph is going to end up being huge, right? There's a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam is a kazayis, half of a kibetzer or a third, and so we'll double and double, right? That's basically how you get. Okay, but the fact is the larger shiurim are based on this. Now, what Rabbi Hoffman argues is not only is the proper way to eat matzah with the right, but also you should have the time span of 2 minutes, which is the smallest shear of Kedei Achilas Pras, and the amount of matzah you should eat is the larger shear of a Kazayas. Now, this ends up being something like the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Yeah. Right? This ends up being, I mean, if you've ever seen it, you'll never forget it, and you really want to forget it. We'll say it like that. It is gross. Right? It is totally grotesque. But on a certain level, his argument seems to be based on genuine halak sources. Now, I should point out two things. The Mishnah Brura and this Magen Avram that preceded the Mishnah Brura is based on a Trumas Hadeshen, who says that l'chatchila you should swallow the matzah in one gulp. It's difficult, so break it up into two parts, swallow it in two gulps, but put everything in your mouth at once. That's the Mishnah Brura. The Magen Avram, though, also quotes in the Maharil. The Maharil is the father of Minhage Ashkenaz, that the way you eat matzah is, normally, little bites, and you eat matzah. Eat it, right, within Kedei Achilas Pras, but you don't put the whole thing in your mouth at one time. That's what the Magen Avram quotes. The Aruch HaShulchan basically paskins like the Maharil. Here, look at the Aruch HaShulchan Sif Dalet. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Shamanu midin rabbein l'habes yosef, dehidr mitzvahs levloa koshne tzeisim biyachad, v'ochol hapachos hakezayt v'vasachas. Shulchan Aruch sounds like the proper way, the hiddur, the ideal way of eating, is to swallow two kazayim together, at least one kazayis. And even though it combines with Deyachilas Pras, Mikom Bakom, Ikar HaMitzvah, Kein Hu, and that's what he writes, if you ate Chatzi Zayis, and then you eat another Chatzi Zayis, you Yotze B'Yeved, but the ideal way is what we mentioned. Okay, Mikom Bakom, says the Aruch HaShulchan. None of the Rishonim say you have to loop the matzah. None of them say you have to eat at one moment. And the Maharil writes beferish that you eat it ma'at ma'at. Just don't delay Kedei Achilas Pras. Fine. And Sif Vav says the Aruch HaShulchan doesn't mean what you think it means, etc. So the Aruch HaShulchan says you eat matzah in a normal sort of way. The Chazon Ish ate matzah in a normal sort of way. He didn't do this chipmunk cheeks gulp. Right? That's not the way the Chazon Ish ate matzah. Now, Rabbi Eliyahu Fink, he has like a show out on the West Coast, and he has a blog called Fink or Swim. So, don't ask. So, he wrote a blog post. He wrote a blog post about this article of Rabbi Hoffman, and he quotes my friend Chaim Seiman. And he writes as follows. Okay, let me quote from what Rabbi Fink writes. I'm concerned about the implications of publicizing and shaming people into adhering to the much more strict opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The Torah commands us to eat matzah. When the Torah says we should eat matzah, it means we should eat matzah. We should do it. Doing it in the way Shulchan Aruch would have us doing it is not eating. It's jumping through a complicated halachic loop to earn a reward. It seems impossible to feel like one is eating if one is trying to form and then swallow a giant ball of chewed up matzah. Eating in this manner dehumanizes the act of eating matzah and turns it into a purely mechanical robotic hologram of eating. Right? Interesting. This view of halacha that advocates this kind of observance in 2014, I guess this is a few years old, seems to be connected to the worldview of magical thinking and superstition. In this view, our obligations are obscure, odd, difficult rituals with only a tenuous connection to reality. The author of Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, lived that type of life. He was a mystic. Effectively, he's saying like this. Rabbi Yosef Karo says you should eat that way because al pi kabbalah, the proper way to do a mitzvah is that you do, you push this button, that button, the other button, and you get the mitzvah. But for us, he argues, the idea of a mitzvah is to elevate normal life. And therefore, what we should do is you should eat matzah in a normal way, and instead of being achilas rishus, it becomes achilas mitzvah. That's his argument. Now, effectively, what he's trying to say, if I understand, I don't think it's so hard to understand. What he's trying to say is that there's a question about why we do mitzvahs. Are mitzvahs supposed to take mundane activities and elevate them? Eating is ordinarily a mundane activity. Now I eat matzah, it becomes infused with kedusha. Or do I say that no, mitzvahs are an opportunity to get into shamayim, as it were, and if I push the right buttons, I get in. And yes, this isn't the normal way I eat, but it doesn't have to be, because I'm pushing those buttons, I'm getting in. That's his argument. Now, I happen to think that his approach to jumping to mysticism to explain this is interesting, but I don't think that's really what's meant. My understanding is as follows. Why is it that most of us have a certain attitude that, oh my, you can't tell me that's the way you eat matzah. That sounds like the Nathan's halfway getting contest. The reason we have that attitude, I think, is because we view that type of eating, like with the chipmunk cheeks and the swallowing, we view that as like a grotesque type of act of gluttony. No? And we believe that being refined is a good thing. Correct? I think this is why we don't like it. It happens. I saw the Seder Ha'aruch quotes an essay from Rav Huttner. It's Maimer Nun Tes in the Pachad Yitzchak, where Rav Huttner argues that maybe there is an iser in halacha to be a gargaron. A gargaron is someone who's a glutton. But Zok Rav Huttner, maybe a glutton is only a glutton in the sense of a mitzvah being adam l'chaveiro. I shouldn't do in a way that people will say I'm a glutton. The Gemara tells a story about Abaye when he heard about the mitzvah of receiving matnos kahuna, that kohanim are supposed to get gifts. So originally said, "Oh," Abaye said, "Oh, that's great. I'm going to go and I'm going to grab gifts from everybody. I'm going to grab the matnos kahuna." And then they told Abaye, they say, "One second, that's not proper." They tell Abaye, "It is in chulin kufla megimel. Meireish havechatifna matanta. Originally, I would grab matnos kahuna. I said chibuvei kamechabivna mitzvah." This shows I love mitzvah. I'm going and I'm grabbing the matnas kahuna. That shows I love the mitzvah. But then I heard that people said, "Vinosa and Veloshito Me'afo, they're supposed to give it to me, and I'm supposed to take it myself." So I stopped grabbing. But I would tell them, "Give it to me." But then I heard that people say, "One second, that looks like being bribed." So I didn't say, "Give it to me," etc. I waited until they came to me, etc. That's what the Gemara says. Now, what Rav Huttner argues is that there's a degree of chibuv mitzvah involved in doing a mitzvah in a way that can look gluttonous, and it's not a problem. It's only a problem of looking gluttonous if I'm taking from you. But if I do something on my own and it appears gluttonous, right, that's not a problem. That's his argument. And Rabbi Hoffman would say that, listen, by eating matzah this way, I am fulfilling the mitzvah in the optimal sort of way because I'm getting as many positions in Rishonim as I possibly can have. Right? I'm getting more and more and more. Now, yeah, let me take a question.
It could be that the poskim who require lachatchila to eat the two gezeisim together may be very lenient on the size of the gezeisim.
Oh. Absolutely. So I remember the first time I encountered this discussion, I was in 11th grade in Yeshiva Farak, when my Rebbe was Rebbe Yehoshua Kalish. And Rabbi Kalish, right before Pesach, gave us a Musar Shmu, says, boys, I don't want you to eat a big share of the kezayis. He goes, and I have a proof in the Shulchan Aruch. Because Shulchan Aruch says that you're supposed to swallow it at once. And if you're supposed to swallow it at once, it can't be a big kezayis. Alternatively, some say, maybe the reason why it's difficult for us is because we eat these hard, brittle matzahs, but if you eat softer, like pita, maybe it's not so difficult to have a pita that's the size of an olive and to swallow it. Maybe it's not as difficult. Again, it's all possible, but I would say that for us, though, this method that he's suggesting of eating matzah, even though it seems to be the simple ring of the Shulchan Aruch, is a very difficult method. I don't think anyone can acknowledge that this is easy. Yes?
Two things, or two and a half things in the spirit of mine. First of all, gluttony. We talk about if I'm taking away something from you. If I'm sitting in my house and I'm eating, like, I don't know, three half gallons of Breyer's ice cream at one sitting, that's gluttony.
Even if no one else, even if I'm not taking it. Okay.
Number two, more importantly, just saying, there's a real whiff of, it's almost like a gluttony for mitzvahs. It's a gluttony for brownie points. I mean, and thirdly, why is it that in all the, okay, admittedly I didn't grow up in this and all that, but we have Haggadahs like this on the bookshelf.
Yeah.
How come I've never, ever come across this, and has anybody else in this room, you, ever come across this?
I think this method of eating matzah was not unheard of, but it was done by very few people, very far between, and I would argue that all those who did it probably had a much smaller share. No one. Right? Well, I would argue the chiddush, and perhaps even I would say the dangerous part of Rabbi Hoffman's article, is to try to put all the chumras together. You want to eat matzah this way, fine. But you want to eat the biggest shear in the smallest amount of time, that's dangerous already. Right?
Obviously, you should be machmir on the shear and makel on the speak on the.
So I would argue, what I argue about eating matzah is as follows. Okay? I think fulfilling the mitzvah according to the Aruch HaShulchan and the Chazanish and the Maharil quoted in the Magen Avraham, not like the Mishnah Berurah, then you eat normally, is a beautiful way to fulfill the mitzvah. You eat normally, try to eat quickly, but normally. Try to do it within 4 minutes, and I would say at least the first night of Pesach, you should have a, like the Mishnah Berurah says, a large share of matzah. But when I'm eating two kezesim, and the two kezesim is only because I'm not sure which matzah to eat from, so then what you should do is not have two giant kezesim. What you should probably do, and we spoke about this once a few years ago, what you should probably do is have the total of one giant kezias, which is the same as two smaller kezesim.
Right. It's equal to two.
Right? It's equal to two smaller kezesim, and do it in a normal amount of time, eating it like normal. Some have argued that if a person tries to fulfill the mitzvah of achilas matzah, as it's written in this article, you don't get the mitzvah at all, because that's shalom kederach achila. Right? The chipmunk cheeks and loop is not the normal way of eating. Again, it might be normal if it's a very small amount, but to do all these chumras together doesn't seem reasonable to you. Moreover, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes that this idea of having two kezesim is only because we're not sure which matzah is the real matzah, right? Will the real matzah please stand up? We don't know which one. Now, this makes sense for the leader of the Seder. The leader of the Seder has three matzahs in front of him, right? And the leader of the Seder is, right, unsure which one to eat from. But you have 15 people sitting around the Seder. Now, what do you do then? Now, there are different practices among poskim, and in different families there are different practices. Does every person sitting around the Seder have their own matzahs? Has his or her own matzahs? What standard? Generally not. Generally there's only matzahs at the head of the table, right? Some poskim say, well, you're supposed to eat from both. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, you're supposed to eat from both. Therefore you should have lots of three matzah arrangements around the table, and everyone can eat both. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, that's not the way we do it. And if we don't do it that way, if we have only a three matzah arrangement in front of the head of the Seder, whoever's leading the Seder. So then for everyone else, yes, you have a mitzvah to eat matzah, you have a mitzvah to eat one kazayis of matzah, not two. Right, two kazayisim is only because I'm not sure which matzah I'm eating from. But if I don't have both matzahs in front of me, so then what do? Right, eat a teeny bit of matzah from the top matzah, because whenever you hear hamotzi, you eat a little bit of challah from the person who made the hamotzi. But then eat a kezayis, one kezayis, not two, from the matzah in front of you. End of discussion. I don't think. I just don't think that the that trying to eat two kezayisim, if you're going to do this, it could be a chumrah that leads to a kula. People will see this and they'll say, "Oh, I'm supposed to eat matzah in this weird way, and therefore I can't do it," and they'll give up. I remember people sitting at the Seder and they said, "Oh, it's too hard, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to eat a teeny bit." You want to fulfill the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah d'orais of eating. You want to eat a kezayis. Make sure you get one real kezayis. Now, does a real kezayis have to be an ostrich egg? Probably not. But, you know, if you're young and hearty and you want to pack away an ostrich egg worth of matzah, okay. How much, by the way, is a kezayis? Rabbi Willig, in one of his articles, maintains that the size of a kezayis, ready? A tenth of a machine matzah. That's really small, by the way. Right? Two kezayisim is 2/10 of a machine matzah. That's the same as a fifth, by the way, for higher mathematicians among us. Right? Now, again, most assume that a kezayis is a third of a machine matzah. Not that much. A third of a machine matzah is not. And by the way, you have to remember there's a mitzvah simchas yontif. Right? It's very important. The reason why we have wine at the Seder instead of grape juice, according to the Rashbam, is there's simchas yontif. To do mitzvahs in a way that we enjoy, you should buy matzahs that taste good. Don't buy cardboard that breaks your teeth and, right, gives Dr. Gutman a salary. Don't do that. Right? Get matzahs that taste good. Fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah properly. That was the basic point I wanted to make tonight. Yeah.
What we do is you have the sholem and the prusa. Give a little piece of both to everybody, and then let them fill in on their own.
And then fill in on their own. Right, but whoever leads a seder should try to get a kezayis of each. In other words, I could give out a little bit. Like a very little bit of both, but the real, what it says in Shulchan Aruch is that you should have a kezayis of each, which means don't give big pieces from the.
If you have 10 people at the table, you're not going to have much from the bala bayis.
So then you had, now the briskers are machmir, that since the halacha of Haggadah is it has to be bizman sheyesh matzum bar munachim lefanecha. Now, all the matzah that people are going to eat for the mitzvah of achilas matzah should be on the table the entire time we're saying Haggadah. But what we used to do at home, I think most people do this, is when it comes to time for matzah, you take the box and, right, then you give it up. For the briskers, they should have the matzah on the table. The briskers are also machmir that the matzah should be uncovered the whole time. Wow. Now, we have a practice based on the Arizal that whenever you lift up the cup, you cover the matzahs, no? That's the standard practice. The briskers leave the matzahs uncovered the entire time. Again, they're different practices. Rashi in Psachim sounds like the mitzvah of Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbei. Rashi says Harbei means Halal and Haggadah, which means that you have to have matzah on the table for Halal also. I try to be machmer for this. I think it's a good thing that at the end of the Seder, sometimes people like take everything off. And by the end of the Seder, it's like a clean tablecloth, as clean as it can be after like you've spilled wine on everyone sitting within a 5-mile radius. But as clean, the table might be clean, just the people next to you aren't. And many people like take the mats off and they take off the ka'ara. Api Kabbalah, the Seder plate is supposed to remain intact. The entire Seder. It's called Soda Ka'ara. You should leave it intact. And Alpi Kabbalah also, you should, and Alpi Halacha, based on this Rashi, you should have mats on the table and you say Halal. Some say that when Rashi says you should have mats on the table and say Halal, only refers to the two chapters of Halal that we say in Magid. But I think the Pashtus in Rashi is that You should have matzah on the table even at the end of the Seder. Why not? You could clear off. You could have a nice table, just have matzah. It happens that these are props. The idea is that I'm looking at the Seder plate, and I look at the matzah especially, and I remember why I'm saying halal. Right? And the halal and the matzah of halal is a different matzah than the matzah of Haggadah. The matzah of Haggadah is the matzah of slavery, and the matzah that's in front of me at halal has been transformed into the food of freed people. Right? Remember, matzah represents both. It's what we ate in Mitzrayim as slaves, and it's what we had on our backs when we left Mitzrayim, and this dimension, I think, is also worth focusing on. There is a brief discussion in Poskim. Some Poskim say that when I give you the Makoros about this at the end of the sheet, but it's probably not worthwhile reading it inside. The Gemara points out that, according to Reb Meir, that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. There's a machlokas whether Maaser Sheni, remember, in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle, so you have to give Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni. Maaser Rishon is a tenth you give to the Levi, and Maaser Sheni is food they're supposed to take up to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And there's a question whether Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa or is it Mamon Baila. Is Maaser Sheni considered my property, or is Maaser Sheni considered God's property? Reb Meir says Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa. The Gemara says, according to Reb Meir, that Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa, I don't fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah with matzah that comes from Maaser Sheni, because it's not mine, and matzah has to be mine. Based on this, there's a chumrah that some have, the Sfas Emes has it in Maseches Sukkah, that, oh, the matzah has to be yours, so if I'm sitting at the table, and I have guests over, I should, at the beginning of the say, tell them, by the way, you now are in possession of matzah. Don't think this is an insignificant gift, by the way. This stuff is $50 a pound, or I think it's like $30 a pound now. It's like unbelievable. This is a very significant gift. I'm being makna the matzah to you so that you can fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah properly. The minhag of the world is not like this. The minhag is that we assume that if I'm a guest in your house, you're giving it to me, and you don't have to explicitly say you're giving it to me. But there are some who have this practice based on this Sfas Emes, it's probably machlokas between the Rosh and the Rambam, etc., how you understand the Gemara. That's another, I would say, interesting chumrah that comes up with respect to eating matzah. So tonight, we discussed two interesting chumras with eating matzah. One is chipmunk cheeks and swallowing, which is an interesting chumrah, but I don't recommend it. The second one is not such a crazy idea. Again, every chumrah has to be balanced by what the impact is, right? If it's an interesting opportunity to teach people some Torah and the chumrah, like, okay, so here's your matzah, why not? But if it's going to end up meaning that I don't enjoy my Seder and I can't walk for the next 2 weeks after because I'm in terrible gastric distress, so maybe that's not a good chumrah to have. Okay, thank you for listening, Chevra. Off to Sol Chometz.